the world. Now they're getting ready for all-out war on Iraq. October 6th, a year of war on civil liberties here and on Arab, Muslim, and South Asian immigrants. October 6th, the day we've got to be in Central Park, New York City, to resist this madness and pledge to stop it. Everyone who cares about morality and justice must make their presence felt that day, to stand with the people of the world and say, not in our name, to the government's cause. Sunday, October 6th, 1 p.m., East Meadow, Central Park. Visit www.notinourname.net or call 212-969-8058. Another world is possible, and we pledge to make it real.
Around the network, WBAI in New York, WPFW in Washington, D.C., KPFK in Los Angeles, and KPFA in Berkeley. We want to tell you that you are now listening to, or just about to, the second meeting this weekend of the Interim Pacifica National Board. There was a full agenda last night. The meeting went a little bit late, and we're going to play back at the beginning of this particular broadcast, something from last night. We're going to hear the report from the board chair, and we'll have that in just a moment. But I did want to briefly run down with you the agenda for today. And we're going to start with a report from the executive director of Pacifica, including a Q&A, also a report on the Pacifica website. Then that will be followed in an hour or so by something about on-air editorials, and then the treasurer's report, then finances before lunch, and then after the lunch break, a report, a proposal from the Pacifica affiliates, and then some lengthy bylaws discussion this afternoon. So those are some of the things that are ahead of us. But let's listen now to Leslie Kagan's report from last night, the report from the board chair that aired or on some of these stations last night, but we'll be hearing on some of the other stations for the first time today. So please stay tuned for that coming up next as soon as I can get that queued up. By the way, this is Jim Bennett, the interim general manager of KPFA, and we're glad to have all the various different stations from around the network joining us today.
I just want to say a few words about where I think we are in this organization and this process of transition. I have been, I actually mentioned this a little bit at the June meeting, but continue to be somewhat concerned about the ways we interact within this network over the last several months. And a part of my analysis, whether others share it, I don't really know, is that our lack of clarity about a new structure has opened up room for honest confusion, some maybe purposeful mischief, some just not knowing where we are and where we fit in and who's responsible for what. It's in that context that I know I came into this weekend, and I think others of us on the board also came into this weekend, hoping to really move this bylaw discussion along as far as we could. That it has become increasingly clear to me, anyway, that we need to continue to be deliberate and thoughtful in this process and not rush to, not push ourselves to make quick decisions that aren't thought out. But that needs to be balanced against the need of this organization, the need of each of our five stations and as a national organization to bring some greater clarity to how we work and how the different pieces of who we are relate to each other and what the relationships are. I think that will help us. Part of what that's meant, though, is that we have spent and continue of necessity, will be so for a while yet, a lot of our energy focused internally. And I'm hoping that as we do this work, which we will continue to do, the internal housekeeping and redecorating of the house, if you will, rebuilding of the house, that we need to also look a little more externally. The world is on fire. It is bad out there. And we need to think about that external world that we are in. Thank you. So, it's for that reason, for instance, one of the items on the agenda this weekend are some editorial positions that we hope to adopt so we can, as an organization, as the Pacifica Foundation, take a stand on at least two issues that are of concern to the people that we speak to and speak for. We also, I think, and I think a lot of people on the interim board share this, and it actually came up yesterday in the retreat that most of us were at, have realized that while we have helped to organize a process for discussion around the network on bylaws issues, that in a similar way, although perhaps done differently, we need to play some role in helping to organize a network-wide series of discussions about how we struggle internally, about how we work out our differences. How do we think about the mission of this organization? How do we view the next steps and the vision that we have for Pacifica? How do we turn the energy that was unleashed in the struggle to win back Pacifica, how do we turn that into creative energy in this rebuilding process and not just turn on each other? That we need a series of systematic and organized discussions and exchanges of our ideas and our thoughts throughout the network. Some of that's begun to happen at these board retreats, but we realize that needs to happen in each of the five listening areas as well. We need to talk in that context, too, about what do we need to do to, again, make this organization, each of the five stations and the national organization, an effective part of the peace and justice movement in this country. So we're not going to be able to figure all that out this weekend, but that is, I think, one of the things that we would like to, one of the services that we would like to provide as an interim board is to help in the creation of those kind of discussions around this network. Part of that also is thinking about even developing some sort of code of conduct for ourselves as a board and for each of the listening areas. I know here in Texas, a code of conduct has been developed. I don't know how well it's working, but we should look at that experience and see what we can learn about it so that we begin to struggle with each other and not against each other. And that's not to say that we deny our differences or run from the difficulties we might have from each other, but how do we handle those differences? How do we use that? How do we enter that process in a constructive way that helps us on the mission of what we've all come together to do? Finally, let me just wrap this up by saying a word or two about this weekend. Again, as you all know from what we just talked about in terms of the agenda, we have a tremendous amount of work to do. The bylaws are obviously a big item. The finances, looking at these budgets and making some decisions about the budgets, is a big item, as is everything on this agenda. May not be as big in time, but they're all critically important. This may be unnecessary to say, but let me say it anyway. This is a meeting of the Interim National Board of the Pacifica Foundation. We are mandated, and I think we have a moral and a political responsibility to have these meetings in public. We are engaged in a process with listeners, with lab members, with producers, paid and non-paid staff. This weekend, though, is a board meeting. We will do our best to hear your comments, to take your concerns into consideration. But we also do ask of you to give us the time and space to have the conversations that we need to have among ourselves. So we welcome those of you who are here with us, and we're delighted that those of you who are listening on the web and on the radio are here with us, too. We are not uninterested in what you have to say. We are very interested. We also, though, at the very same time, need your understanding of our need to get a certain amount of work done. So the truth of the matter is there will be less time this weekend than there has been at the last few meetings that we've held for listener comments. There will be time, but it will be less than you've gotten used to. So please be patient with us. I think that's the reality of where we are in this organization and the work we have to do. So those are my opening comments. I think we should move right into the heart of the agenda. So we'll hear from Brian Schaefer, who is the...
This will be the Pacifica Archives report as we're waiting for
the
meeting this morning to get started. We'll actually be continuing to play material from last night's meeting.
There's not enough time to clap. Since June, the Pacifica Radio Archives has made a great leap forward in developing an actionable, long-term plan for improved preservation, digitization, cataloging and electronic web and physical access to Pacifica's archived recordings. With assistance from grant consultant Addie Gevins, the archives recently completed and submitted a heritage and preservation grant proposal to the National Endowment for the Arts. This grant will have experts come in who will give us an assessment of the physical collection, give us recommendations on equipment, give us training in the proper flat transfer process that we've spoken about before, and also create a best standards and practices manual. The initial phase of creating an archives advisory group for the project has been met with enthusiasm from academics, historians, archivists, documentarians, Pacifica veterans, and current staff. The archives has continued its support to stations during fund drives and assisted programmers and producers with special programming, such as the KPFK Chicano Moratorium Anniversary Program and the National and Local Governance and Bylaw Specials. During the summer fund drive, KPFA granted the archives an hour of on-air time to raise emergency funds for the breakdown of the air conditioner unit or the environmental unit in the cold storage room. In 1 hour, we raised over $8,000 for this, and I'd like to thank Carol Spooner for joining us in that program. The bad news was that the air conditioner was giving us some problems, and the cold storage unit was very hot. What we found out after we knew that we had the funds to work with, we had an estimate of $8,000 for replacement. We had an estimate of $5,000 for a replacement. We had an estimate of $3,000 for a replacement. What we finally found was an engineering company that came in that told us that the unit is not broken, does not need replacing. We spent about $500 on the repair. The environment has been stabilized. We're in good shape, and the unit will last another 5 years. With the on-air fundraiser at KPFK, listeners responded with that $8,000 gross in pledges, and KPFK made a commitment to meet our goal, which was $10,000, proving that listener concern for the safety of the recordings is at an all-time high. The increased awareness of the collection has attracted skilled volunteers who have assisted the archive staff with operations during the sales record-breaking month of July, as well as the purchase, installation...
This is WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM. In case you're wondering about this broadcast, this is the program that took place yesterday, last night in Houston, Texas. The rebroadcast now is while we're waiting for the National Board meeting of Pacifica to set up for today's broadcast, which will be until 7 p.m. Unfortunately, we'll be preempting the following programs, but it is important to have this program. So we can all be in Houston, if we can't be there, in person for the board meeting. We lost half an hour of David Rothenberg on the count with Eddie Ellis, Jazz, and I.O. Harrington will be back next week. And that's 10:30 till 12. And then Grandpa Al Lewis and Karen, Al Lewis Live, will be back next week. And Radio Free Aaron from 1:30 to 3 p.m. will be back next week. And from 3 to 5, well, we had a TVA slot in there. We had from the bylaws meeting to Niaba's Nish to... a couple of other music programs that will be preempted, and I think Peter Boshin from 5 to 7 will be preempted and back next week. So while we're waiting for the meeting to commence today, Jim Bennett, the interim Pacific Board Director, is hosting this rebroadcast of some of the details from yesterday's meeting of the National Board in Houston, Texas.
Largest part of tape sales, subsequently sustaining archives operations during the national.
And regular programming tonight should resume at about 7 p.m., although they tend to go over, and that will be Jeannie Hopper, Liquid Sound Lounge, going into the Grateful Dead Morning Dew with Lance Neal and Mandrake and friends, and then Underground Railroad for sure at 12 midnight. Jay Smooth and crew, and we will then have more music into the wee hours of the morning with Tony Ryan and Soul Central Station from 2 to 5 a.m. Ear Massage with Rocky, 5 to 6, and then through the Opera Glass. And that's enough for your TV guide for the radio for now.
Is still in a critical stage.
On WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, 10:17 a.m. on Saturday. Regular programming preempted for the national meeting of the Pacifica Board in Houston, Texas.
And maintain minimal cataloging standards. A quick story. On September 11th, was it September? Yes. The archives produced a montage of Voices for Peace. And I went in on a Sunday and listened to about 20 to 30 hours worth of programming to get a three-minute montage together. In all of those voices, we did not get Martin Luther King Jr. because the tape I found was in bad shape. We couldn't listen to it. So that is a direct hit, slap in your face, that we are losing ground. We can save this tape, I believe, but this was the tape that Martin Luther King went to a prison in Santa Rita to visit Joan Baez and others who were arrested for protesting the draft. So this isn't a speech that somebody else has. This is a Pacifica reporter meeting Dr. King outside of the prison and asking why he went there. A collection development plan, including rescuing additional historic Pacifica recordings, surveying station and producer holdings, and solicit stations and current producers to deposit selected programs with the archives is on hold until resources of storage space, conservation and restoration practices, and catalog entry and access can be actualized. Relationships forged with Larry Applebaum of the Library of Congress, David Siebert from the University of California, Santa Barbara, and field experts in audio archive preservation and access are increasing visibility of the collection and constitute valuable resources for analyzing current standards and practices and developing those best practices. In the staffing, the archive still has an urgent need to hire a professional cataloger, an office administrator, and a professional archivist. The cataloger and office administrator are included in the upcoming FY 2003 budget. The PRA staff, aside from myself, deserves recognition for their hard work and care for the health of the collection, as well as maintaining services to the Pacifica stations, affiliates, and listeners. The archives has enjoyed more positive support than at any other time, but has not been immune to the struggles that continue to plague the network. The staff has remained cheerful, supportive, and dedicated to the principles and ethics of archiving, which is to collect and preserve what is and will be an alternative recorded history. The services to the stations have played, the archives have played an important role in providing new and archival programming to Pacifica stations. And we continue to collect and make copies available to listeners at cost and upon request of Democracy Now!, Explorations with Michio Kaku, This Way Out, the KPFK Morning Show, Background Briefing, and other local programs as requested. This month, the archives completed a successful original 12-part program series called A Passion for Survival with Dr. Helen Caldicott, narrated by Lily Tomlin. The program features both archival tape and new recordings of Dr. Caldicott in dialogue with activist intellectuals such as Noam Chomsky, Michael Parenti, Michio Kaku, Julia Butterfly Hill, Blaise Bonpain, John Sellers, Ramona Ribston, Greg Palast, and our own Amy Goodman. The series was produced by myself and Mark Torres with help from KPFA and constitutes a significant national programming offer to stations and affiliates while National Programming Unit is defunct. In addition to bolstering the archive's credibility as a national unit vital to both the network as a whole and to the individual stations. Following initial distribution of the series, the series will be offered to Australian Broadcasting Corporation and the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation for broadcast, broadening the archive's presence in other markets. Continuing in association with the literary series A Clear and Present Danger, hosted by Steve Rohde and produced by the Penn Center USA West, PRA distributed a special program on the anniversary of the TWA Flight 800. This was the first program offered to stations and affiliates as a downloadable file from the archives website. The archives has continued to strengthen relationships forged in larger arenas such as the NFCB conference, the Association of Recorded Sound Collectors. Outreach has gathered a diverse group of archives friends concerned with the health and preservation of the collection, generally regarded as the premier resource for audio documentation of the 20th century political activism, thought, arts and culture from the leftist and progressive perspectives in the United States. In terms of grants with the NEA grant, the immediate goal is to create a plan for archives preservation and access that will acknowledge and reward Pacifica's contribution to the record to the history of the 20th century and beyond. In the NEA Heritage and Preservation Grant proposal, we developed a two-year project that will bring the archives to the forefront of sound preservation. It focuses on the arts-related recordings, and experts will be contracted to conduct preliminary assessment of both the physical state of the collection and the public access to the catalog database. 100 key art heritage tapes, including poetry, literature, drama, spoken word, radio documentary, and radio art, will be selected for preservation and description. Other grant prospects in development are the NEH Preservation and Access, the National Archives NHPRC Collection and Preservation, the Washington, D.C. Humanities Council, California Council for Humanities, the Paul Robeson Fund for Media, and by the end of this month, we should be completing a proposal for the Grammy Recording Academy Grant Program. In the website, in this month, we launched, in fact, September 11th, we launched the Archive's new website redesign, and focuses on four main objectives: the accessibility to the archive records, online sales and fundraising, station and affiliate communication, and service as a resource for education, a source for production elements, and as a library of programs suitable for rebroadcast. For example, the 1964 radio documentary, the 1934 San Francisco Waterfront and General Strike, produced by Ernest Lowe, was broadcast on KPFK celebrating Labor Day and received incredible feedback. The ILW has requested a copy of this program to be distributed and broadcast at union events. In our objectives, the immediate goal for the entire archive staff is to work as a team to bring the collection's physical environment up to proper standards, safeguarding further damage. We look forward to actionable support from this interim board of directors and executive management in the coming months. With respect to the financial burden the foundation is still experiencing, there must be a discussion regarding minimum payment of central services to the archives during times of financial crisis or further development of independent funding. We can no longer sustain ourselves the way we have this past year and manage to get past our goals and objectives. We've just been barely treading water and are holding our head above water, even with the increase in tape sales. PRA will maintain station relations and services by seeking new and vibrant premiums for fund drives and increasing communication with stations management, staff, producers, and programmers with emphasis on acquisitions and collection development. After this board meeting, I'll be going to New York to meet with Valerie and at WBAI and staffers to talk to them about collection development. Programmers are asking, what do they do with their recordings? So we will be talking with them about that. And that's it for the moment. If you have any questions, Ryan.
And you've been listening to Brian DeShazer, and that was recorded last night in the first meeting of the Interim Pacifica National Board in Houston. His report from the Pacifica Archives. Well, people are just about getting it together to start the meeting this morning, and I will tell you that you're listening to the Interim Pacifica National Board meeting on KPFK in Los Angeles, WBAI in New York, WPFW in Washington, D.C., and KPFA and KPFB in Berkeley, and KFCF in Fresno. So we really appreciate you being here, and let's now go to Leslie Kagan as she's trying to gear people up for the meeting today, which will go to about 7 p.m. East Coast time and 4 o'clock West Coast time.
Oh, also, the Teresa is reminding me that the archives, Brian, brought a whole bunch of material and tapes and CDs, and they're also out there for sale. So not only do you get good archival material, but you help support the archives. So please feel free to drop by that table at any point today or tomorrow and pick that up. I'm sure Brian doesn't want to pack it all up and take it back home with him. People should buy him. So that's great. Okay, let me quickly review the agenda for this morning. We made some changes yesterday. First of all, I just want to again thank and welcome to this meeting the radio stations of the Pacifica Network that are broadcasting us live. And that is WBAI in New York, WPFW in Washington, KPFK in Los Angeles, and KPFA in Northern California in Berkeley. And on the web, I believe all of those websites are streaming the meeting. In addition, here in Houston, kpftx.org is broadcasting it. It's a new development in the Houston station's web abilities. And WBIX.org is broadcasting on the web as well. So we very much appreciate the people at those stations and at those websites who make this possible. That is, make it possible for us to bring these proceedings literally to people around the country. And we welcome those of you who are listening, and hopefully you'll be able to follow what's going on here, even though you're not in the room. And, of course, we welcome those of you who are in the room with us. Thank you. So the agenda, the modified agenda or revised agenda, is as follows. We're going to open, and as I said, we're starting a half hour late. We're going to open with a report from Dan Coughlin, our executive director, and have a brief period for questions and answers from the board members. Then we'll go into a brief report from Pete Karakis, who is the coordinator of our website, and he has dropped off some materials for us as well. We'll move from there to a discussion of two proposed on-air editorials and one resolution. That's all that's in your packet, and you know, we'll get to that later. Then the treasurer's report from Jabari Zakia, and then discussion of the budgets for fiscal year 2003, which begins October 1st. And then we're aiming to get all this done by 12. Well, we're scheduled for 12. Let's aim for 12:15 to see if we can pick up some time. And then this afternoon, we will have the affiliates proposal, and then the rest of the afternoon, back to the bylaws discussion. So I appreciate in advance everybody's cooperation in terms of really sticking to the time frames and speaking to the points that are on the table. I think we did very well with that yesterday, and hopefully we can continue that. So Without any further ado, I want to turn it over to Dan Coughlin, who's sitting to our left. Yeah.
Thanks, Leslie. How much time did you...
Dan Coughlin, the executive director of Pacifica.
Yeah, half hour.
Okay, I will try to be very quick. I know there's a lot on the agenda. My name is Dan Coughlin. Good morning, everybody. I'm the executive director of the Pacifica Radio Network. First, I'd very much like to thank Teresa Allen and George Barnstone, the Houston Pacifica National Board members, Dwayne Bradley, the general manager of KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston, as well as the Deb Shafto, the lab chair here, and indeed the entire KPFT community for organizing this event. I know it's been an extraordinary amount of work, and thank you very, very much. As you all know, the number one focus of the network in this recent period has been dealing with Pacifica's financial crisis and restoring some level of financial stability. It's been a very, very difficult, stressful, and exhausting period for the staff and the wider community. But I am very pleased to report to you today that the network is slowly but surely emerging from the crisis period. First and foremost, the last 8 months has seen the most successful and sustained fundraising period in Pacifica's 53-year history. In a stunning testament to the loyalty and support of Pacifica listeners and to the hard work and dedication of Pacifica staffers, the network raised nearly $8 million in on-air pledges this calendar year alone. It is all the more remarkable that this record-breaking fundraising has occurred in the midst of a recession and a sharp economic crisis. Pacifica station WBAI in New York led the way with $2.8 million in on-air pledges this year. KPFA in Berkeley posted $1.75 million. KPFK in Los Angeles, $1.64 million. WPFW in Washington, D.C., $770,000. And KPFT here in Houston, some $600,000 in pledges. In addition, three special days of national on-air fundraising generated about $300,000 in pledges. But raising revenue and cutting costs has just been part of the financial picture. Just as critical and difficult has been reestablishing basic financial procedures and practices, from budgeting to financial reporting. I'm pleased to report to the entire Pacifica community that for the first time in some 2 years, the Pacifica board last month passed a budget, in this case, the fiscal year 2002 fourth quarter budget. This was a small step, but a very significant one. More importantly, it's been followed by a series of other crucial developments. The audit for the fiscal year 2001, a document vital to our day-to-day financial operations, was completed last month and published on Pacifica's revamped website at www.pacifica.org. We also submitted a preliminary fiscal year 2003 balanced budget, and we will be ready to begin our fiscal year 2002 audit on schedule in November. Once available and approved, these documents will be posted to the website. I'm especially pleased to inform the board that financial reports detailing the network's revenue and expenses over the last year will be made available on October 1st. This is the last and perhaps most important milestone in restoring the basic components of normal financial operations to the network. And following October 1st, the board will be receiving a complete set of monthly internal financial reports from the National Finance Office. I appreciate the concerns raised by the KPFA Local Advisory Board in wanting to know where and how shortfall funds from KPFA were used during the last 8 months. Let me say, the National Office is completely committed to ensuring that this public, listener-supported radio network is transparent and above reproach in its financial dealings. The National Office will recommend to the interim board that these financial reports be made available to each local advisory board. Pulling the network back from the brink of bankruptcy and into some level of normal financial operations has been a Herculean task. Many thanks and congratulations to the paid and unpaid staff, the local boards, the national board, and Pacifica's legions of loyal listeners for rallying in defense of the network at this critical time. I would especially like to acknowledge the hard work of the station managers and business managers at each local station, as well as the national staff, Verna Avery Brown, Joyce Snowden, Brian Gibbons. In particular, Controller Yasmin Bryan has done an extraordinary job in pulling the network's finances together. Treasurer Jabari Zakia has been very... Is Yasmin in the room? Treasurer Jabari Zakiya has been very supportive and provided much-needed hands-on oversight and constructive criticism. WBAI's Valerie Van Isler, Bernard White, and Indra Hardat faced a daunting task at the beginning of the year, a $350,000 deficit, the largest in the network, and they've done a remarkable job in saving that station. I would also especially like to acknowledge KPFA's Jim Bennett, Eileen Carr, and Phil Osegueda, as well as the entire KPFA staff and community for their unconditional financial support during these difficult times. On many occasions, the KPFA community, without hesitation, rallied to provide life-saving funding to the network, whether helping to meet payroll at other stations or ensuring the smooth functioning of the KU satellite. Without that support, the network would not have made it through the past 8 months. KPFA also supported Free Speech Radio News, making that remarkable newscast available to all five Pacifica stations and some 55 community radio stations nationwide. One important factor in our financial success has been that right from the beginning of the year, we clearly set our objective, adopted a strategy, and stayed focused on the task at hand. We understand the pressing needs in the network and thank the wider Pacifica community for their continued patience and support, and we look forward to starting to address many of those other needs. However, let me warn everybody now, Pacifica still faces serious financial challenges, and we must work hard to consolidate our financial gains. We still have approximately this $1.5 million in debt that has to be managed, and fiscal discipline will and must remain our primary institutional goal over the next year. As the Haitian proverb says, Deye moun li moun, behind the mountains lie more mountains. Accordingly, I've submitted a frugal fiscal year 2003 budget, one that proposes only a 2% increase in expenses. Also in the proposed fiscal year 2003 budget are two scenarios for how much local stations contribute to the national office to cover the shared expenses of the entire network, costs like insurance coverage, satellite and programming expenses, as well as payroll, accounting, legal, and administrative services. One scenario before the board suggests 20% of local station on-air fundraising be earmarked for national expenses. Another scenario proposes 15%. Recognizing the ongoing financial constraints of the network, the five station general managers and the national office staff unanimously recommend to the interim Pacifica National Board that the central services levy remain at 20% for the next 6 months of the 2003 fiscal year. We also recommend that upon a mid-year review of our financial status and following the publication of the fiscal year 02 budget audit slated for January next year, the board considers lowering the central services to levy to 18% or perhaps less. As the fiscal situation improves and new bylaws are approved, the network can and must look forward to the future and begin the Pacifica-wide discussion on our longer-term goals. This task is no more urgent than at any time in Pacifica's history. The country and the world are at a critical juncture. And if Pacifica is to survive in the years ahead, we must rededicate ourselves to the mission for which it was founded. So how do we get there? How do we rebuild the network and improve the quality of our shows, increase audience, and raise funds? I believe we need to focus on six key areas in the period ahead. One is local and national news programming. The second is training and apprenticeship programs. The third is new media technologies. The fourth, of course, is the Pacifica Radio Archives, who we heard from last night. Fifth is focusing on the network's physical plant and technical infrastructure. And sixth is our relations with the wider community radio network, our affiliates. As a first step towards rebuilding the network, we are strengthening our local news and public affairs department, or as the case may be, creating local news departments, such as here in Houston. The fiscal year 2003 budget before the board proposes developing news departments at KPFT and WPFW in Washington, as well as strengthening existing news staff at KPFA, KPFK, and WBAI. The most significant financial initiative in the budget involves strengthening Pacifica's news programming by expanding station-based funding of Free Speech Radio News, the daily half-hour newscast co-produced by KPFA and WBAI in conjunction with KABU in Portland, Oregon, and WMNF in Tampa, Florida. With some 200 contributors on six continents and airing on more than 55 community stations around the country and the world, Free Speech Radio News has quickly established itself as the largest and most important corporate-free news source in this country. Alongside Pacifica's local news departments and with Democracy Now! And Free Speech Radio News, we will be maintaining a vigorous and robust national programming presence out of Washington, D.C. This need has become even more apparent in light of the growing national and international crisis. Thanks to the leadership of Verna Avery Brown, we have been able to provide signature Pacifica programming specials this past year, notwithstanding our financial difficulties, including the stunning Juneteenth production, as well as ongoing coverage of key national events from the April 20th Peace March to the August 20th Reparations Rally to the day-long 9/11 programming. And as the international crisis deepens, Pacifica Radio will respond with special daily programming covering the Iraq War and with live event broadcasts and public forums nationwide. In the year ahead, there are a number of important programming events to look forward to. We will be covering the 30th anniversary of WBAI's famous Seven Dirty Words legal case, which marked a critical moment in the history of the First Amendment. We will also be launching a special day of programming on the 100th anniversary of the publication of W.B. Du Bois's The Souls of Black Folk, one of the seminal texts of the 20th century. Indeed, the book's publication, some argue, marked the beginning of the modern civil rights movement. And as Pacifica historian Matthew Lazar reminds us, up until the mid-1970s, Pacifica stations offered entire days dedicated to special programming, including day-long readings of James Joyce's Ulysses. Today's special programming events, like Juneteenth and the upcoming Souls of Black Folk, are part of that rich tradition, but they also encouraged a revival of Pacifica's intellectual roots under new circumstances. This kind of programming will also put Pacifica back on the map as a pioneer in cultural and intellectual radio and help the organization reach out to new audiences. But ultimately, the strength of Pacifica's special national programming will rely on the strength of our local stations, and Pacifica's ability to report, engage, and influence the wider world will depend upon our journalistic capacity at the local level. That's why it's so important to rebuild the network with a strong base. We need to strengthen the local to strengthen the national. Each Pacifica station needs a robust news and public affairs department with active training and apprenticeship programs that provide access to the airwaves for diverse communities that our stations serve. Training and apprenticeship models can be the engines for our local stations, nurturing new and talented staff in everything from news and public affairs to arts, drama, and culture. Another key component of rebuilding the network is to build production and distribution capacities through the Internet and new media technologies. Free Speech Radio News built their half-hour daily newscasts literally from scratch off the Internet through file sharing. We can do this with our five stations and indeed the wider community radio network, producing and sharing programming across the country. Pacifica providing original content 24/7 at five stations should have the country's most important source of news and progressive information on the web. And you'll be shortly hearing from our new webmaster, Pete Caracas, who's going to present to you some changes, some exciting changes to the Pacifica.org website. Critical to this project of using new media technologies is, of course, the Pacifica Radio Archives, an international treasure that we must catalog, preserve, develop, and make digitally accessible to community radio producers nationwide. The fiscal year 2003 budget proposes the sharp expansion and development of the Pacifica Radio Archives. Recognizing the concerns of the entire Pacifica community, we have slated for the archives to grow more than 25%, largely through devoting a day of national on-air fundraising in November to the archives. We believe that one key realizable objective for this fiscal year is to create and launch a strategic fundraising campaign aimed at developing the archives as well as building an independent funding base for the archives. Another urgent component to rebuilding the network is to ensure that we focus, as Jabari has been pointing out, on our physical plan and capital requirements. The technical issues of the network and the revolution in new media technologies have not been given enough attention, obviously, over the last couple of years at Pacifica. We cannot wait any longer. Pacifica must make a major institutional commitment to technical development as soon as possible. As such, the National Office will be launching a ground-up review of our fixed assets as part of the process of developing a capital budget, and, if necessary, a capital campaign to upgrade and improve our station's technical and technological infrastructures. As part of this process, there has to be a more coordinated approach to technical and engineering issues on the national level. As such, I've proposed in the fiscal year 03 budget a national technical and engineering position to address and manage these issues. But as an immediate step, the National Office will be launching a complete physical inventory of the network as soon as possible. This is a long overdue requirement. And I can get into some of the technical problems that we've been having at a number of our stations at WPFW, KPFK, and elsewhere, but I actually, in the interest of time, I'll just move quickly to the end of the report, and I will be posting the report up on the Pacifica.org website and, of course, providing a copy to each of the board members and the lab chairs. As we imagine and articulate the future direction of Pacifica, there are a host of priorities and needs that may seem difficult to tackle. However, I am convinced, as many of you are on the board, that we can only succeed in the mission of Pacifica by developing and strengthening our capacity to provide the best programming to the widest possible audience. That process starts by rebuilding our local news and public affairs programming, by launching training and apprenticeship programs, by using new media technologies, and by maintaining a robust national programming presence. The National Office will prepare in the next several months a detailed vision statement, including cost estimates and analyses addressing how the network might practically implement our programming, technical, and training goals. I look forward to working with the IPNB on this process of strategic development. In the meantime, we must remain disciplined and vigilant to protect and consolidate the hard-won gains of the last 8 months while remaining true to the principles of accountability, transparency, and due process that have propelled the Pacifica reform movement over the last several years. Thank you very much.
Dan Coughlin, Executive Director of Pacifica.
Thank you.
Here on KPFA or KPFB Berkeley or KFCF Fresno, WBAI in New York, WPFW in Washington, D.C., and KPFK in Los Angeles. Here's Marion Barry.
I want to commend Dan for really doing a tremendous job of bringing us to where we are. But more importantly, there are probably about three unsung heroes. You mentioned Verna Avery Brown. But I'd like to also ask the board to thank Yasmin. I mean, she has done just a Herculean job with the finances, came back, and also Joyce Snowden. And a lot of that work, you know, you don't hear about, you don't know about, but I'm in Washington, so I know on a daily basis what they're doing and over on Champaign Street. So I want to thank you all really so much for this leadership. That's all.
Yeah, I would just say. I just want to echo, there are so many people to thank for what's happened at Pacifica the last 8 months because it has been an extraordinary turnaround. Of course, I do focus on the national staff because I work with the staff every day, but there are they are among the hardest workers here at the network, and we're really lucky to have everybody on board. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Any questions? Yeah, Jabari.
Jabari Zakia.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. This is Jabari Zakia. Dan, I just had a question about the directives we made at the last meeting. We had a directive to have 2 hours a week of bylaws programming. I know that's not taking place at PFW, and I asked you to have a report or for each station to submit a report to document what they did to be in compliance with that directive, and I haven't seen this. So what's the deal?
Yeah, I can make that available to you today.
Okay, and actually what I would like to see is a schedule a win.
Pardon me, Leslie, could you make it public now? Can you tell us?
Can you just give us an overview now and then, you know, fill it in later with the details?
I do have all the general managers did provide regular logs and schedules of their bylaws programming, so I do have that, but actually it's in the computer and I just need to print it out and give it to you all. So it'll just have to wait. Sorry.
What are the plans for a national program to discuss bylaws and governance issues?
Okay, why don't we, do you have a response on that now? Because otherwise, since at noon, back to bylaws.
I think to some extent that's going to depend on what happens here this weekend in terms of what kind of progress the board is making. We would like to do more national programming on bylaws. Unfortunately, what we run into is the question of resources and our ability to be able to provide the kind of productions that we would like, given the priorities, especially over the last 3 months, with 3 days of national programming that we've had to do. And I know that's been difficult to get off the ground some national programming on bylaws.
Okay. Again, I want to remind us to come back to this question this afternoon when we talk about bylaws, about what from our perspective as the international board we would like to see happening vis-a-vis programming at the station.
Relafoy, and then the report from the KPFA lab yesterday really expressed tremendous frustration with not having information about our finances available on a timely basis. We know we're not hiding anything, but it's clearly not enough. When do you foresee being able to produce regular reports that will be shared with the labs and
Marie LaForest from New York?
We understand the frustrations and we share them. It's been a daunting task. One of the things that a lot of us have been focusing on is the debt and the cash flow problems of the network, but we tend to forget that this other part of the finances, which is basic procedures such as passing a budget, developing a budget, having financial reporting, has also been a very difficult task, largely because, and I think you'll hear this a little bit more probably in the Treasurer's report, but because of the challenges facing us with the accounting software system, training all the business managers and some general managers on that system, inputting all the data into the Great Plains software, and then producing financial reports from that. So that's what we've been focusing on quite extensively over the last several months. We do have some draft reports already produced, but we will have final detailed financial reports for you in the next by October 1. And these detailed financial reports will include all data entry and account reconciliations, information on all bank and payroll accounts, all accounts payable, and budget versus actual comparisons, as well as central service assessments and interdivision balances. So it'll be very detailed and very up to date, and you should have that within a week.
Thank you. That's fabulous. You know, we've all been holding our breath and getting more and more anxious about that over the months. So I'm really, really glad to hear that. You also said we would, once we get that, we can expect to get those regularly, monthly. Do you expect that what you'll be doing is closing the books every month? So we'll get a report through on October 1st through
Carol Spooner.
You'll get a report on October 1st, which will be from that'll include financial reporting from October 1st, 2001, through to August 31st.
Right.
So that's going to be your first monthly financial report, which will have be up to date to August 31st. And so from
right.
then on, you'll be 1 month behind.
So we'll get that on October 1st, and then November 1st
right.
we would get the September report.
That's right.
In December we would get
that's
the...
Right. We're happy.
Hey, Carol. Hello? Am I on? Are there other questions or concerns we want to raise? Well, let me just echo what Marion said, that you know, I certainly, I think everybody on this board, I hope certainly everybody on this board really appreciates the work that Dan and everybody in the national office and people who do work with the national office who aren't literally in the office have done over these last months. I was about to say years. These last few months have been very full, and I know, I'm sure Phil feels to many folks like it's been several years of work that's been done here. So thank you. That doesn't mean that the work is going to get any less. I'm sure there's still, as you mentioned, Dan, a lot ahead of us. And what was that, you know, proverb, the quote?
Day
the
moon, mountain, moon.
Right, the mountain's behind the mountain. So we will keep our mountain climbing gear in shape and ready to go. Yeah, one quick question. Yeah. Just so folks remember, we are broadcasting. So if you're going to say something, you have to say it right into the mic.
I thought what TV is on.
Miguel Maldonado from New York.
What do you think? Yes, Miguel Maldonado. My question is, when you mentioned, Dan, about the Pacifica debt, which is now is 1.5 million, and I just wonder, since there was some kind of negotiation going on with some of the companies that we own millions of dollars, I just wonder how that happened, if you can mention among those people who got paid and there was a negotiation, mm-hmm. and who's left who hasn't got paid, and there's a problem in trying to reduce some of that, debt was reduced and there was a negotiation taking place, and who are those people who still we own some money and there's some negotiation going on with them?
Right. That's a good question. If you cast your mind back to the earlier part of this year, we were facing about 2.6 million or so in alleged monies owed to some 8 professional service firms, including public relations, intelligence or security firms, and law firms. And I think everybody knows the law firms that were involved in the litigation last year, everything from Williams and Connolly, Fulbright and Jaworski, Epstein, Becker and Green, et cetera, a PR firm by the name of West Hill Partners, security company by the name of Decision Strategies. To varying degrees, we have been entering into a variety of different negotiations with these professional service firms to determine to what extent these billings are in fact legitimate and what indeed is a reasonable amount for the services that were rendered. So that process is still underway. It's actually, we haven't got very far with it in the sense that most of these cases are still outstanding and have not been settled, and Pacifica has not paid out any money. However, Pacifica's insurance company, Directors and Officers Insurance, paid out about $900,000 to 2 firms. So overall, the debt has been reduced. That professional service debt has been reduced to about, it'll be really more like 1.4, I think, down from 2.5. And then we still presumably will be continuing with the negotiations, I would say at least for another year on some of this business. It may take a while before it's all settled.
Leslie, let me ask you another question related to that.
Marion Berry.
Have any of these companies, organizations, filed lawsuits against us?
No. One of the things that we did right away, right in the beginning, Marion, if you remember, to bring some sense of order and professionalism to what was a chaotic situation, we hired a law firm in Washington to help us negotiate with that, and they've really done a great job in working with all the professional service firms. It was a difficult time in early January, February, and I think everybody has calmed down and are looking to figure out how we might all move forward together while respecting Pacifica's obligations as well as the fiscal realities of the network.
Finally, what's happened with this intelligence company that we were very upset with? And let me just say for the record, that happened before I ever came on the board. I didn't know anything about this, you know. I have no responsibility for that one. But what's happened with that? Are we just refusing to pay them, or they agreed to make some adjustments? Or?
Yes.
So we wanted to know exactly what did they do during that period.
Right. Well, there's two principles that have guided us in discussions with any of these professional service firms. One, what was the engagement by Pacifica with the firm? And number two, what was the work product? Because we need to evaluate what the work product was and indeed whether there was a proper engagement. And on both of those issues, we're having a little bit of, or more than a little bit of trouble working with this company to try to, in fact, determine those